We are here at the BASF Science Behind the Future of Weed Control event. And with me is Dr. Larry Steckel. And Dr. Steckel, tell me a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. I'm an extension weed specialist with the University of Tennessee. I'm an associate professor there. And I primarily work on trying to manage these glyphosate-resistant weeds we're struggling with in Tennessee.
Well, tell me a little bit about right now what the status of this problem is in the South.
Well, it really started for us about a decade ago with mare's tail, and that was a problem. But about 5 years ago, we started to see these pigweed species start to escape glyphosate, and they became a real game changer. I've heard that term used a number of times now, and that's really very descriptive of what's happened. It's changed so many things, a lot of things I never thought we'd run into that it's changed. And part of it is it just produces so much seed. And, and we were spraying Roundup on it, two shots of Roundup and calling it a day. Weed control was good and simple and easy, and we didn't have to worry about it. Now we're using herbicides to try and control it that we used back in the 80s. And you have to be timely. You need to be on this pigweed prior to it getting 3 inches tall. And you wouldn't think that would be too big a chore, but Palmer pigweed in the middle of June can easily grow 2 to 3 inches a day. So you can... you get one rain shower, one breakdown, and you're not going to make it out there to get it sprayed in time. And then, we're disking fields down and replanting them late because of it. Good stands of soybeans. Things like that have changed because of it.
Well, how bad is it financially? What's the financial cost we're seeing?
Well, just this last year, basically what it's costing us right now, because we're basically overlaying a bunch of different residual herbicides, is it's $45 an acre more in herbicides than we were spending just a few years ago when we were just using Roundup. So you figure, and we just got, we don't have the acres they do in the Midwest, but we got 1.6 million acres, and I can do the math on that. That's $72 million more herbicides in herbicide cost over and above where we were a few years ago.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Well, what are you then recommending to your growers to control or better prevent resistance?
Yeah, as far as control, basically it's all the tools we can use now. Some of them are herbicides, like I just mentioned, overlaying different pre or residual type herbicides, being timely with post-emergence herbicides. But some of the options to completely control it, you can't pour out of a jug. Crop rotation. Is a huge one, and not just rotating the corn, but managing the weeds well in the corn. One thing here in Tennessee that we have is we can do a great job with weed control and corn up front, but we harvest our corn in August. And for the time we harvest our corn in August, time we get a first freeze, we can get a lot of pigweed come up and produce a lot of seed. So we have to think about weed control after that. And sometimes some of them are disking it, some of them are bush hogging it, but whatever they're doing, they're managing it. And it's not something you don't pour out of a jug. We're even starting to look at cover crops, getting those back into play. Because there's three things pigweed need to germinate. Two of them you think of right off. It's water and heat. But the third one is light. There's been a lot of work done that light promotes germination of the pigweed. So if you can get a good cover, you're gonna really cut down on how many germinate. So we're looking into that. And then looking at some rotations we hadn't thought of. Wheat double crop beans has really turned out to be a pretty good rotation. Again, you get a good wheat stand, kind of shades out the pigweed coming up early, and you're well on your way. And you're not relying on a herbicide. So, that's a big plus. And we got some growers now, they had every intention to plant something other than soybeans in these fields, but they've been continuous soybeans for 15 years. And they're along these creek and river banks. And we get a lot of flood in Tennessee. And invariably, they were going to go to corn, but it's June. They're planting soybeans. But now they're thinking a little bit outside the box. Why don't we plant grain sorghum? And so we're going to see more grain sorghum, I think, in Tennessee this year, at least from the phone calls I'm getting, trying to manage pigweed.
Well, speaking of pigweed, you talked about how fast this weed grows.
Yeah, it's remarkable how fast it grows. You can't help but be in awe of it. And quite frankly, we ought to be trying to grow it as a crop and not fight it as a weed. It'd be a lot easier. It's unbelievable how quick it grows. And I told a story where I got called to a field, and it was wheat double crop bean, but it was a thin wheat stand, so the pigweed come up in it, and the farmer cut his wheat, and he planted his beans, and he sprayed Roundup, and he went home. We still got folks not up on current events. Roundup's no longer controlling these weeds. Anyway, 20 days later, he called the retailer to come clean it up, and the retailer called me and took me to the field. And quite literally, we lost the truck in the field. The pigweed grew because, you know, you cut it off about 6 to 8 inches above the ground. The pigweed grew 5 foot in 20 days, middle of June, to the point we lost the truck when we stepped out of it. So it's when you get those kind of that fast a growth rate, the logistics trying to control it are just a nightmare.
It sounds really scary. It sounds like some kind of science fiction movie or something. Well, why is it important for companies like BASF to help growers solve these kinds of weed resistance issues?
Well, we need basically all these companies to give us additional tools to try and manage these weeds. And quite frankly, I think that's kind of where we've been. Weed resistance to herbicides is nothing new. It's been ongoing, about the time we had resistance to a herbicide, these chemical companies historically have had something else coming out that was actually even better. That ended with the Roundup Ready technology. It was so good and so cheap that it took the incentive out to develop any more herbicide modes of action. So there is nothing on the horizon. There's no new Roundup that's going to bail us out of this. The closest thing we got is these new technology traits, which BASF's looking at one. Dow's got their trait. We're going to need them. We've actually been looking at on pigweed, and they're going to help us. With these new technologies, we're going to be better off in the future controlling pigweed than we are today. In saying that, they are not Roundup 2003. They are going to be good tools in a complete system where we're using other herbicides, pre-plant residuals in with them. Cultivation, crop rotation, maybe cover crops. We're going to have to employ all the tools to be sustainable long term.
Well, that just means you have to work harder. We thought it was a silver bullet, and that's what happened.
Yeah, we had a golden age for about a decade, and it's in it for us. And it sounds like from my colleagues in the Midwest, it's ending there too.
You said it's the end of. What was your quote?
Oh, the total post-emergence weed control era is over, and I don't think it's ever coming back. And it was so good and so easy, and I often tell our growers, think back to 2002, 2003. That wasn't that long ago, but you're going to think about those as the good old days because weed control is never going to be that easy again or simple or cheap.
All right. Thank you very much. Here at the BASF Science Behind the Future of Weed Control event, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.